bum leg. I had a chance to finish reading a long book that I had started some time back. And in some of the last chapters, there's some stuff in it I'd seen bits and pieces of. Through the years, I decided I would teach some of that this morning. I'm not sure if I'm doing that right. My artistry is going to be on display this morning. So you should all run for the doors. If I can have you open up to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. We can start reading at verse 4. The nations are still the flood, and they are getting together after the manner of men to start a project. So they're going to build a tower, the Tower of Babel, and they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower," verse 4, "whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one. They have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing shall be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language. So you see there that the Lord confounded their language. That's where we got our multiple languages from. Let's pray real fast. Lord, I thank you this morning for this. Lord, I have enjoyed very much putting it together. I hope it comes across as well as I hope. Well, Father, pray you'd give folks confidence once again in their Bible and in the work that you've done in men's lives. Father, you did these things for a reason. It seems mean to some, I suppose, that you should separate men on the face of the earth and confound their language and confuse them. Turns out, Father, that's one of the greater blessings in life. I pray that you might show us something this morning about our God, about ourselves, and about the Bible. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So here, God is the author of all the world languages, all right? That's pretty evident. I was reading a book by a guy, if you want the reference, by a guy named Douglas Stauffer. He's a Bible believer and got some good stuff. He got his material. I got this material from him. He had collated some material together from a guy named C.H. Kang. He's a native Chinese guy who struggled with trying to lead his people to Christ. And so he was seeking some information in the Chinese language that would assist him in showing the Chinese that the God of heaven and earth, the Christian God, is actually their God and creator too. And they have a hard time with that for reasons we'll talk about in a second. And so this is about Chinese this morning. I'm not going to be able to teach you much Chinese. My writing is terrible, of course, and I'll not be able to do much justice to it. Brother Mark may have shown us an example or two of this at some point. I remember seeing something about it at some point here with somebody just giving one example. I'm going to build an entire sermon out of it here this morning. But Chinese is one of the oldest world languages, all right? Etymologists, those are language specialists, say that it originated 3,500 to 4,000 years ago, okay? So that goes back to 2000 B.C. Now, interestingly enough, I read you the Tower of Babel here. Tower of Babel dates back to 22 to 2300 B.C. So if Chinese is 4,000 years old, 2,000 B.C., then go back, give or take, another couple hundred years, and you're right in the area. And the reason I bring that up is because Moses is understood to have written the book of Genesis probably around 1500 B.C. I say that to make sure you understand that Moses wrote the book of Genesis long after the events took place. And so, importantly, when the Chinese were formulating their own languages, or when God may have given them their own language, they weren't reading the Hebrew Bible and getting these things from Moses, the Genesis story from Moses at all. That's what I wanted to establish here. Chinese syntax came in place long before Moses ever wrote anything. And so, again, if there's anything biblical in the Chinese language, it can't be something they got from the oldest Hebrew writer, okay? Chinese is different from our language. Our language is phonetics. We form letters to make sounds, and that's how we understand language. Of course, if I draw a stick horse for you, you understand it's a stick horse, probably. But you need to understand that our language is not like Chinese. Chinese is ideographics, or else pictographs or characters. Essentially, reading Chinese, at least with these, is like reading little pictures. And so it's very intricate. Abel studied these things for a long time, and I think that by the time it was over, Abel was able to read a certain number of the characters. Now, you don't read characters much, right, Aaron? Both these guys grew up on the mission field in China. I'm not sure how many characters or pictographs Brother Mark knows. Do you know? Okay. You'll see here pretty quick that it gets really, really complicated. If you've ever seen much Chinese writing by pictograph, you can see how confusing it would be. So I'm going to attempt this. It's not going to be very good, but this is, as far as I'm concerned, really, really cool stuff. The Chinese have a prejudice. Their prejudice is that their language is 4,000 years old and they know it. Their culture is that old and they know it. And here is Christianity that's 2,000 years old. So Chinese culture and language is 2,000 years older than quote-unquote Christianity as they see it, which means that Christianity is a new kid on the block. So why should they leave their Confucianism and their Taoism and their ancestor worship to worship a god that a new kid on the block just brought up 2,000 years ago? They've been doing this for 4,000 years. And so that was the thing that led this guy to do this study. And in fact, what happens is they've missed God's working in their own language. I hold that God gave them their language according to Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. Now, if you are unable to see, if you want to move, you can move. This is not going to be pretty because obviously I don't have any adeptness at Chinese. But, so this is all from a book. How about the word create? I wonder what we might learn from create. I'm going to try to draw this big enough so that y'all can see. Well, here's the word for create in Chinese. You guys able to see? Back this up. Create. It's kind of cool. First of all, this is the pictograph symbol or something like it. I obviously don't have the strokes together very well. This is the pictograph symbol for dust. And this is the pictograph symbology for mouth. When I draw this in, this is the pictograph symbol for walk. When I add this mark, that's a symbol that the dust talks. So this is dust, this is mouth, this is walk. The Bible says man was made from the dust of the ground. and that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, presumably with his mouth, and then the dust, when you add that slash, could talk and it could walk. Now, these people did not read Hebrew, the Hebrew Bible in Genesis, to get that. Either they developed this out of what God told them, or else God gave them the pictographs. That's remarkable, is it not? Now, this is just the beginning, so let me just keep working here. How about the word garden? Everybody able to see okay? Is this coming across okay? I know light's kind of goofy and all that kind of stuff. Okay, garden. We can start once again with the familiar thing that'll be familiar here today is the symbol for dust. So once again, you have this dust. You know that the Lord created the garden and put man in the garden. So you have the dust. And then interestingly, once again, you have the mouth. And the Lord puts an enclosure around this symbol. So the symbol for garden is dust with, once again, a mouth involved, enclosed, which matches. And then he does this. This is the symbol for a person. Just a little, kind of like a little walking man type thing. Only there's two. And the Lord does this with the second person. He brings the second person out of the side of the first person. The Bible says the Lord put the man to sleep and took a rib out and made a woman in a garden. And the man was originally dust, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, created man and woman, and put them in a garden. Now, where would you get that? How about this? Bending over is such a pain. Here's a common symbol that we'll see more today. This is the symbol for a tree. I need two trees. So I got two trees. And then when I add to it this, this is the symbol for to show. So, two trees, to show or to warn. You know what the word is in Chinese? You know what that means? It means to forbid. In Chinese, the word forbid starts with two trees or a forest, and people are warned by somebody about the trees of the garden. Means forbid. Now, who would come up with that if God didn't? I should introduce you to this character. This symbol, they say, basically means movement. This symbol basically means a field. This symbol, let me see here. This symbol basically means a man or a son. And this symbol right here, and I hope you can see it, it looks like this, means privately. This pictograph says that something happened in a field where something moved and there was a man or a son involved privately. You know what that word is? That word is the devil. He was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he moved through that field, perhaps, we know he's a serpent, perhaps as a man, whatever's the case, he dealt with a man in the garden privately. It's the devil. Now, who would come up with that? But it gets even kind of weirder. Because now I'm going to make a bigger pictograph because I'm going to use this. Let's go back to our trees. Here we got trees once again. Nope, that's not a tree. This is a tree. Once again, we've got our two trees. And you have the devil. You have two trees. And then you have this character, which basically means cover. Under cover of two trees, devil. Tempter. That's the Chinese word for tempter. Under cover of two trees came the devil. And then take the devil, break it down, moving in a field upon the man privately. Cool. Okay, here's a good one. Once again, I shouldn't have erased them. Once again, let me see if I can change markers. I think mine's petering out on me. Nope, I don't have another. Hey, Naomi, in there by the printer, there's a little plastic box of dry erase markers. If you wouldn't mind. Okay, say, where was I? Oh, yeah, trees. I need a black one, sweetie. Sorry. Thank you very much. Okay, I got, once again, two trees. Okay, two trees or a forest. And then, don't get mad, I got this. Two trees. Woman. That's the word for covet in Chinese. Two trees. Woman. Somewhat akin to that. Woman had a choice, is that right? Choice might be translated as to want. I want it. Well, once again, you start with our good old tree, and then you have the pictograph symbol for eyes. And then you add to that a pictograph symbol for heart. choice or to want. From a tree, she looked upon the tree. She saw it was pleasant to the eyes. A tree to be what? Desired. Where? In her heart. That's the symbol for choice or to want. Oh, here's a good one. Not something I would have guessed. Once again, you have, well, once again, you have, make sure I get this right. It's confusing. Once again, you have a woman, right? And then you have this symbol that you've seen before. What does this mean? Private. And then you have this symbol you've seen before. Mouth. That is the word for beginning. A woman privately does something with her mouth. What did she do? She ate of the fruit. Now, I know that's the word for beginning. I understand that. But still rather remarkable. That's where your trouble started, in the beginning. Where'd your sorrows start? Where'd your sorrows start? Once again, very well known now here for us. You got two trees, as usual. And then you have underneath that a symbol that means a part or a piece of. Your sorrows begin where? The choice of two trees, somebody took a part or a piece. She ate a piece of fruit that was forbidden her. Isn't this cool? Interestingly enough, the opposite of sorrow would be happiness, right? The symbol, the pictograph for happy is this. Left alone, that symbol means one, or something from above. And this symbol means mouth, right? This symbol means, make sure I get this right, need the right number of lines, make sure that I don't mess something up. Remember that? That's a field, part of the devil's name, right? And then there's this one on this side of it. This means to show. So happiness is somebody coming from above, speaking in a field, and showing something. Didn't man fellowship with God? I know it was in the midst of the garden. I don't know if it was in a field or not, but he fellowshiped with God. Those had to be the happiest days of Adam's life. Came from above and spoke in a field and showed Adam. Isn't that what should make you happy? Fellowship with God? And then there's this. Now there's two words for this. And don't freak out, don't worry. Oddly, there's two Chinese words for naked. We know that God made man and they were naked and were not ashamed. Then we know that they sinned and were ashamed. So oddly, there are two words, two pictographs rather, for naked in Chinese. And one begins with our, we dealt with this earlier, familiar, this is, remember what that is? It's dust, right? And then you have the symbol for a man. So naked, man's made from dust, becomes a man. And then it adds this. Oddly enough, these two little strokes. You know what those two strokes represent? Flame or brightness. Now, I don't know what Adam exactly looked like when God made him from the dust of the ground. I know when Moses went up the mount and saw God face to face, he had to cover his face because his face was shining, right? I'm not trying to make theology out of this. I'm just saying that think about Adam being freshly made from the dust of the earth, having breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. I wonder if he looks like you look when you get out of the shower. There's a decent chance maybe there was a brightness to him. And I can find some of that in the scripture. If that's not the case, it's interesting that what follows here, a second word for naked in Chinese is this symbol, which does this. And that is the symbol for clothing. And then it adds this. And that looks like a field, but what it's added to is actually the symbol for tree. You know what this is? This symbol here, this one, that's a fruit tree. Clothing, fruit tree. It's the second Chinese term for naked. Man saw he was naked, and he sewed fig leaves together. Now, why would a 4,000-year-old culture forming a language have two words for naked, one being a man made from the dust, being bright, and then clothing from a fruit tree? And a question for you is, now did God do that, or did they do it out of their own ingenuity? Can there be a question? This guy, what he battled was the fact that the Chinese learn pictographs, maybe somewhat like you learn words. When you say, "What you doing?" and I say, "Oh, nothing," I probably don't stop to think that what I just said was no thing. Ah, nothing. And so a Chinese looks at the pictograph and sees what it means, but has lost the, you know, just like you don't break down every word into its Latin roots and all that kind of stuff. They don't break down what a pictograph means into its individual parts. But the gospel is in the individual parts. Isn't that cool? Not done yet. Akin to that is this. Adam hid amongst the trees. Is that right? Okay. So the word hide in Chinese. Well, first of all, you begin with a symbol for body. This is the symbol for body. And I have one more. symbol for body. Hide. And then there's the symbol, which does this. No, that's the wrong way. Sorry. That's the symbol for nearly or almost. And then you have a symbol we're familiar with. The word hide in Chinese is the body nearly or almost a tree. They hid themselves amongst the trees. They had fig leaves. So they were camouflaged. So when you looked at the trees, you didn't see Adam and Eve because they looked like trees. That's the word for hide in Chinese. Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you put a little stick man behind a rock? Why would you put him looking almost like a tree? Believe it or not, that is the symbol for say. And then we're back to our friend. Symbol for the devil, right? Devil who made a movement through a field, came to the man privately and said something. That is a symbol, that is the pictograph for soul. Isn't that weird? Why would you, formulating a language, have as part of the word that means soul the devil? But they did. All right, this is complicated. It's a symbol for a lamb, believe it or not. You recognize any of this at all, Aaron? Really? You can read my writing. Cool. That little bit sounded really suspicious there. It's a symbol for lamb. What do you think this is a symbol for? No clue. Symbol for me. Or I. That word is the word righteousness. The lamb covers me. It's cool. God is holy, right? That was encouraging. God is holy. And so the word holy that is the word for listen. This is the symbol for. And this is a symbol for king. Holy. listen to the mouth of a king. Just a couple more. Okay, spirit. This symbol alone means above or heaven, but when in conjunction, and we so with that, Holy Spirit came down from heaven, is that right? And if you put this in conjunction with this, that means rain. And so the Spirit is likened unto water, likened unto rain. Interestingly enough, also involved with this is a symbol we know well, symbol for mouth. Only there's three of them. And add to that something that's kind of cool, and I almost didn't show this. Could be misunderstood by somebody, I suppose. But this is actually the symbol for a worker of magic. But these three lines, that's the worker, and then in the worker, there are two persons. So you have three persons, one, two, and then the little railroad tie there. Water or heaven from above, three mouths, worker of magic, two persons, and then a third person. The Trinity is witnessed to twice in that symbol. The Holy Spirit is likened to water, tells you where he came from, above. It's a spirit. Where'd they get that? How could you do that? Well, you couldn't. God did that, right? I think God gave them. You say, what does this have to do with me? Well, not much. But if God can give Chinese their language, you think God can't keep the Bible in your language? I mean, really. It's not all just about scholarship here. That's basically all I had to show you, except for this one thing, and just to show you that this is not just limited to the Genesis story. I'll see what I can do about maybe finding out some more stuff. I want to show you the word for boat. I found this after the fact. This is the word for boat. The word for boat. It's a vessel. That's a vessel. That's a number. The number is 8. That is a symbol for multiple people. The word for boat in Chinese is vessel, 8 people. How many people were on Noah's Ark? 8. They didn't read Hebrew. Moses didn't write until their language was formed. Moses didn't write until 1500 BC. This language was formed 3500 or 4000 or earlier BC. So Moses is long after the fact. These people had the Genesis story, the garden story, and the Noahic story in their language, and I don't know what else, before Moses ever wrote anything down. Ain't that cool? And so, as typical, in 1949, the Chinese instituted a simplified writing system, which started taking out strokes and various details of words, so that now, increasingly, it becomes more and more impossible for native Chinese people to go back and find these things if they were inclined to. They said that Taiwan and I forget another country still held largely to the more detailed pictographs, but that there's now a simplified system in place. And so some of this would not even be recognizable to modern Chinese. It's too bad, because he's trying to ruin our language too. But I found this stuff really cool. See, your God's in control of a lot more than you know. And you kind of get a little despairing about some things sometimes, not realizing what God's already done. The issue is just discovering it. Amen? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Now, Father, I hope this morning has been an encouragement to some. If there's somebody here lost,